Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to anybody who is here for the first time. It's good to have you with us, and please do stay with us after the service for some refreshments in the Mayo Hall. And incidentally, the Quakers are holding their trade craft stall this morning in the Mayo. The morning continues with interactive worship at 11:30. And then this afternoon at 3:00, Ulrika Erasmus will be leading a discussion on mindfulness, which will prove very interesting, so please do try and come along if you can. And finally today, there's reflective worship with communion at 6:30. Personal news, Daphne Walters, remains in St. George's Hospital. She is in some discomfort, so please do pray for her. This coming Saturday at 10:30, there's an open meeting in the training room to talk in more detail about how best to spend the wrist bequest. There's been lots of work going on since this was last talked about, so this should be an interesting meeting. So please do come along and make your own feelings felt if you're able to. Further ahead on a bank holiday Monday, the 6th of May, there's a bank holiday walk led by Georgina, starting in Pett's Wood and going through to Hayes. Georgina can give you further details. And finally, I think Sally is here to say a few words about Nessie Church.
I just wanted to say a little bit about Messy Church. Leslie and I went to visit a Messy Church on Wednesday. We went to New Malden Baptist Church, and it was really great to see what they're doing there. They've been operating for about a year. There were about 60 people there, including parents, and they had a team of about 20 volunteers, I think, on the day. If you want to know more about Messy Church, why it's called Messy Church, what happens at Messy Church, and what the core values are, there has been an article in Church News this month, and that article will be repeated again in the next Church News, so that will give you a little bit more information. The bulk of what we saw there was very much like one of our activity mornings. So it's perfectly doable for us to do this, because it's partly what we're doing already. The difference being that parents stay with their children. All the, what I call the God stuff, you know, the worship, the prayer, the Bible teaching is in one section at the end in the church. And then afterwards they share a meal together. But the bulk of it is lots of art and craft and games. And it's just looked like really good fun for the children and for the parents. What I want to do now, hopefully, if the technology works, is to show you a short news report. This was shown on BBC television last week, I think. It's just a couple of minutes, and it's about Messy Church, which is happening not just in Kingston Borough, but all over the UK and internationally as well. It happens worldwide. So hopefully, if the technology works, we'll be able to see a little bit more.
Traditional Sunday services in the UK have had a fight on their hands for years when it comes to growing their congregations. So imagine a place where you can play and pray. This new phenomenon called Messy Church is about bringing the stories from the Bible to life with workshop activities, allowing families to worship in a fun way. Pig biscuits, a key lesson in teaching the parable of the prodigal son.
I go to church normally. It's usually fun, but it's not very messy.
Just coming here, just teach the kids about church and faith in a more fun and relaxed way, without the pressure of just being at church.
I don't really go to church, but if I did go to church, I would like it.
Sunday school numbers are decreasing, so the church has to find new ways of connecting with young people. The Messy Church is all about gentle evangelization for the whole family, and its message has already spread to 14 countries around the world.
This idea has just gone round the world. I think it's perhaps in the kind of developed world, there's a lot of the same need of families wanting to be together and wanting to enjoy themselves and to regain, perhaps for some people it's moral values, and perhaps for others it's a sense of wanting what Sunday school gave them or their grandparents.
Messy Church started in Portsmouth 9 years ago and claims to have got 175,000 people interested in religion. Countries such as South Africa, Australia and Canada are spreading the gospel in this way, hoping to inspire the next generation of Christians. Danny Sinha, BBC News in Portsmouth.
Praise the Lord and praise God's holy name. Tell everyone what God has done. Sing praises to the Lord. Tell about all that God has done. Celebrate and worship. We join to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. God, you are the God of the miraculous and of the mundane. Open our eyes to see you. Open our ears to hear you. And open our minds to be surprised by our encounters with you. We give you thanks for those who are able to express their faith, those who do it through their work, through their ministry of hospitality, through their thoughtfulness, through their giving of time, through their giving of money. May we be inspired through the ordinariness of their discipleship to see the wonder and extraordinariness of your love. Forgive us, O God, for each of us knows what it is to have our eyes closed to the needs of others, our hearts closed to you. Give it your hand and help us, that we may be renewed in grace and humility, and enabled to share your love with a wounded world. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not bring us the time of trial, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory is yours, and forever. Amen. Come and talk to me. Come and let me talk to you. There are some people who think that one day God is going to get a clipboard and go through a list of all the stuff that you did wrong in your life. And you're going to go, yeah, that was me, I did that. Oh, yeah, I did that too. And then God is going to take the clipboard and for the whole of eternity, smack you around the head with it. But some people would say, do you know what? All that stuff that you've done wrong, it's true, you have done it wrong. But in Jesus, we are forgiven. And the weight is not ours to carry. Now, that doesn't mean we can do from here on in whatever we like to do. If we believe this, it changes the people that we are completely. It doesn't mean we won't make mistakes anymore. It means that we can be gentle with ourselves. It means that we can be gentle with other people because we believe that it's been ripped up. And If you want a story about somebody in the Bible for whom that happened, the person that you need to look at is Peter, who once thought that he was the big, strong I am. Then denies Jesus. And then is back in the life of the church doing all sorts of amazing things. If you think you are strong, one day you're going to be weak. If you think you've failed and you've failed forever, one day you're going to know that you're forgiven and God has got amazing things to do through you, through me, through us. We're going to sing. What are we going to sing? We're going to sing Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning of the first bit of Act 9, you've got the story of the conversion of Paul. And then the focus of attention moves back onto Peter as he continues the ministry in the early church. And a lot of it is about preaching, teaching, and it's also about healing. Alistair Borthwick will read this passage to us.
In Joppa, there was a woman named Tabitha, who was a believer. Her name in Greek is Dorcas, meaning a dear. She spent all her time doing good and helping the poor. At that time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed and laid in a room upstairs. Joppa was not far from Lydda, and when the believers in Joppa heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him with the message, "Please hurry and come to us." So Peter got ready and went with them. When he arrived, he was taken to the room upstairs, where all the widows crowded round him, crying and showing him all the shirts and coats that Dorcas had made while she was alive. Peter put them all out of the room and knelt down and prayed. Then he turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Peter reached over and helped her get up. Then he called all the believers, including the widows, and presented her alive to them. The news about this spread all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed on in Joppa for many days with a tanner of leather named Simon.
So you've got those amazing miracle stories. But in John, the question is, tell us, speak to us, give us the words. Christine Thompson will read this passage to us.
The motto of this is always check your church phone book carefully, because Stella phoned me up thinking I was Jean, which was why I'm reading the... The reading's taken from John chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. It was winter, and the festival of the dedication of the temple was being celebrated in Jerusalem. Jesus was walking in Solomon's porch in the temple when the people gathered round him and asked, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? Tell us the plain truth. Are you the Messiah?" Jesus answered, "I have already told you, but you would not believe me. The things I do by my Father's authority speak on my behalf. But you will not believe, for you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never die. No one can snatch them away from me. What my Father has given me is greater than everything, and no one can snatch them away from the Father's care. The Father and I are one." Thanks be to God.
Amen. John tells us the date and the place of this discussion as the festival of dedication. The origin of this festival is at a time of great ordeal and heroism, a time of persecution of the Jews by Antioch Epiphanes. And the temple court was deliberately polluted Eventually, there's a rebellion. It's in the middle bit of the Bible, not in the Old or the New Testament. The bit that's in the middle, the Apocrypha, the story of the rebellion, and they win. And the temple is rededicated, and this festival is known as the Festival of Lights, a reminder of the fact that freedom, the light of freedom, has come back to the people. So Jesus is doing what Jesus does, which is he's a regular worshipper, and he goes and he fulfills his obligations, and he goes, and when he's there, they say to him, okay, tell us. And he says, I already have done. I've done it loads, but you just couldn't hear me. Okay? If you can't hear the words, he says, hear the things that I do. Have a look at the things that I do and hear them. I want to ask you, I want to acknowledge the challenge that is my challenge Sunday by Sunday of saying things to people when you think that they know what you're going to say anyway. So, how many of you, when you heard those texts, thought to yourself, well, thought two things. One, because of the other sermons that you've heard in your past, you thought, ah, yeah, well, that means that, and that's why that, and I know where she's going to go with that. That's one bit of hearing. And the other bit of hearing is, ah, well, I know what that sort of, she, I know what she will say, because I know what she's like. So that as you listen, you can't hear what I'm saying, because you've got these filters in your ears that are based on, you know, this is my expectation, this is what you know, this is what this sort of person always says. Not seen anything scandalous, am I? No, it's true, isn't it? Yeah. You've heard these texts before, you think you know what they mean, you've heard me preach loads of times, most of you, and you think you know what I'm going to say. That whole thing is a little bit of an advert for this afternoon, by the way. But if that is true for us, how much more true is it true for those who we're trying to talk to about the faith with? Because if we say what we believe, and they're going to go, oh yeah, blimey, Charlie, we knew you would say that. Because people like you do say that. You know, you're trying to talk about Jesus, you're trying to talk in fresh ways, and they think, oh, good grief, you always say that. Right, so, the challenge is, one, to be prepared to speak about the truth that we have in us, but to find fresh ways of saying it, not just wheeling out the same old boring Christian cliches and the language that makes us feel comfortable and cool, but actually, do you know what? People have heard it, they don't want to hear it. It doesn't help them. To think, to tell the truth that is in us, but to tell it in ways that are right from deep down inside us, because that has a resonance, and also to find ways to clever with our language, fresh with our language, not cliche ridden. The other thing is the power of, as Jesus said, don't think about what you're saying, think about what you're doing. Right, this space is warm at the moment. I would like those of you whose legs work to stand up and sit down. I mean it. Stand up and sit down. Stand up and sit down. Because I can see I'm losing a few of you. Not, yeah. What about, so that's for us as individuals and also for us as a church. the power of doing something a bit different that shocks people and they think, good grief, these people have got something different to say that I didn't know about. I was thinking that about the chairing of the Hillsborough Inquiry by the Bishop of Liverpool. Remember watching it about, you know, this inquiry. And you know that, and it was talking about the inquiry. It was just a completely, it was a football-based program, and it was talking about that their surprise that the Bishop of Liverpool would be the chair. I mean, it's very clever. It's a good idea. Completely neutral in a situation where the everybody else has been tarnished. We're about the only people left standing, so we should be the people in the chair. But it was clever. It was clever for him to say yes. It's a hell of a lot of work. It was clever for him to say yes. It was clever for somebody to ask him. Those situations where we can bring something fresh as opposed to people thinking, blah, 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 that's what they always say, that's what they always do. And reminded of a friend coming back from Israel-Palestine talking about the situation for the Palestinian church where people are predominantly Arab, which equals assumption that they would be a Muslim, and for them, conducting their ministry in a place like Bethlehem, which is, how would you be a Christian in a place where everybody round about you thinks that you should be a Muslim if you're a proper Arab, and holding that together, and they are completely disabled because of the political situation from evangelizing. So the power and the quality of their life has to be loud. Now, please be clear. This is not somebody saying you should be doing more jobs in the church. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. Get that blah, blah, blah out your ears. I am not saying that. Maybe I'm saying to you, you need to develop something in your home. Maybe I'm saying to you, I'm not talking about something else. Maybe I'm talking about something deeper. Maybe I'm saying to you, you need to stop doing something. Maybe I'm saying to you, have you looked at your Bible recently? How much will that transform the life that you live? Maybe I'm saying to you, why don't you organise a street party? Maybe I'm saying to you, why don't you invite a co-worker to go out for a drink? Maybe I'm saying to you, you know that pain in the neck person that you meet and you usually go, hi, and walk as quickly past. Maybe I'm saying to you, why don't you give them a bit of time? Now, it can be that for some, in our tradition, in our sort of Christianity, those stories of the miracles that we had from Acts are problematic. That idea of somebody being dead and being raised to life. I mean, I know that way that some Christians get over it is they say, oh, well, that was then and it's not anymore. But I wonder whether we need to open our eyes and see some of the stuff that actually goes on. So the person who for years has battled with drink and drugs and manages to stop, isn't that a miracle? Isn't that a miracle? The person who is perpetually grinding and never stops says no. Has the confidence to say no. I'm not picking you up from school. No. Isn't that a miracle? When somebody goes through that sort of transformation that they can actually be worth it to say no. The isolated person who feels that nobody cares about them, nobody's interested in them, and somehow they have the confidence to speak to somebody and to engage in community. Isn't that miraculous? It's miraculous. It's amazing. Because all over the country, there's people in houses by themselves feeling lonely. And yet somebody had the courage to engage. It's amazing. It's miraculous. It's beyond the normal. It's just not how it is. But we're just used to it. It happens all the time. We don't even think about it. And so, as I said earlier, this sort of amazing, miraculous transformation, I'm not talking about the miracles, I'm talking about the change. Thinking about Peter. Denied, ran away, couldn't stay at the foot of the cross, was gone. And is invited back into the life of the early church, the life of discipleship by Jesus, and then is at work. And that whole scenario is a hopeful one for each of us. The successful businessman who messed it up, and yet, God is able to be at work. So let us be still, and then we will pray. God of the now, we thank you. God of power, we praise you. In many words and in many ways. Amen. We're going to sing the song which we've sung a couple of times, but it might be not when you've been here. So we're going to sing it. Those of us who know it well are just going to sing it out. And as time goes on, more of you are going to pick it up. And by the end of it, it's going to be so loud, my ears are going to be bleeding. So let's sing, "Oh God, you search me and you know me." So let us pray. So let us think for a moment of our prayers as being like circles in a pond that are made by throwing a stone into the water. The surface of the pond is still and silent. The stone drops into the middle and the first circle emerges. And into that circle we place those who are closest to us. Family. Friends, the irreplaceable ones. This is a small circle of people that we know well, their strengths and their struggles, their enjoyments, their special needs. We pray for them. The circle spreads. Here are the people that we know well, maybe that we work with, people that we go out with sometimes, distant members of the family that we don't get in contact with as much as we should, neighbours, friends from a while ago, people that we send Christmas cards to. Many needs. We pray for them. And the circle spreads again, and the third and the fourth circle. People we know less well, people we meet at the school gate, people that we meet in the foyer, people that meet in the shop or when we go out with the dog or greet in the pub. Hundreds of people in this circle. Too many to pray for individually. We don't know their needs, but God does. God has loved them since they were born. Oh God, let them be washed by these circles of prayer. And the circle spreads again, and for most of us, this is the place where we would put the people of Boston. The safety of the London Marathon. The people of China coming to terms with the earthquake. The people of Syria living under perpetual threat. This is where we would place people who battle every day to have clean water for their children and food to eat. It's not that we don't care, O God. It's just that personally, most of us don't know people in this circle. But you do. Lord our God, our prayer this morning is a small pebble thrown into a large expanse of need. We pray that your love is greater, and we entrust every circle of our prayers to your generous mercy and your grace. And we do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Lord, we pray. We return this money which you have lent to us. Let it be used wisely. We keep most of our money which you have lent to us. May it be used wisely. All of it for the work of your kingdom. Amen. We're going to sing The Lord's My Shepherd, and we're going to sing it to Crimond, and we're going to sing it because somebody among us has been in a dark place and feels that they've come through. And that's why we're going to sing. peace, to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those who we love wherever they are. Amen.